One time, maybe 100 years ago or more, our tribe had a roundhouse, or they had an underground lodge. They had a place to go in the winter months for social gatherings, and it all went away, or it all phased out. More than 100 years ago, they lost their roundhouse, and each community had these roundhouses at one time, but there was none at this time. I wanted to build a roundhouse, and this is where I wanted to have my survival school.
Philip Deer is a Muscogee Indian, and it's also referred to as Creek Indians. And Philip has been around with the Native American movement in the United States for quite some years, and all over the world in his works with the Native American movement in the United States. And that's particularly what we're going to be talking about, is the work that he's been doing locally in Oklahoma in his own community.
A few years ago, I wanted to see that Indian people get back to their culture and relearn some of the dances or language in their own way of life. And I couldn't find no programs that was doing this. But year after year, Indian people were forgetting who they were. They were losing their identity, and they were drifting away from the teachings of their elders. And for several years, I wanted to have a survival school. And I knew that survival schools had started in St. Paul, Minnesota, Minneapolis, and they begin to start survival schools in different parts of the United States. And I also wanted to have a survival school, but my survival school was a different kind of a survival school that I had in mind. One time, maybe 100 years ago or more, our tribe had a roundhouse, or they had an underground lodge. They had a place to go in the winter months for social gatherings, and it all went away, or it all phased out. More than 100 years ago, they lost their roundhouse, and each community had these roundhouses at one time. But there was none at this time. So I wanted to build a roundhouse, and this is where I wanted to have my survival school. And I thought of it, and I talked it over with several people, and I couldn't get the interest of anyone in my area. Everyone thought it would be a good idea, but help was needed, and no one was willing to donate their time to help in constructing this house, because I wanted to do this in kind of a traditional way. Some materials I had to have from the lumber company, but other than that, I used the native wood to build this roundhouse. And I talked about it for several years, and finally I decided if I didn't do it, nobody was going to do it. So with the help of my family, my children, and maybe two or three local boys, I started building this roundhouse. And it took me a long time, because we did this on our spare time. And we started having conference there even before we finished it. And our first conference was the elders' conference. We had elders from different parts of the country to come and have a conference there. Even though our house was not finished, we were able to have a conference there. And throughout the four-day conference, our elders held many different kinds of ceremonies. Each tribe had their own way of conducting ceremonies. And we had meetings there throughout the 4 days. Then, since it was an elders conference, there were young people who felt left out because they had no voice there, and most of our discussions were more businesslike. So I decided to have a youth and elder conference the following year. And by this time, I had several young people helping me to finish the roofing. Then I had went and got some donations to purchase some materials. And we finished the roofing by our second conference. And we had young people from all over United States, Canada, to come there. And we had 10 or 12 elders that spoke to these young people, and this allowed the young people to ask questions to their elders.
Oh, grandfathers, as I watch your portraits one by one, you tell well the story of your race. Across the silence of the years, your voice can still be read in the lines of knowing on your face. And a thousand lies can't hide the truth that's in your eyes and the pride you show can't hide the truth.
School days, dear old golden rule days, I recall the stuff your classroom spoke in the and against school bathroom. Bad days, sad days, propaganda, had days and nights, said my prayer, pray like hell to get over there.
Growing up in a white man's system, our elders and young people were separated years ago. In our Indian traditional way of life, there was a time when we were close to our elders. Our uncles were our teachers. Even going out hunting, our elders, our uncles were our teachers. And as a boy growing up, I spent a lot of time with my uncles, which was a traditional way of growing up. But somewhere, the young Indians were separated from their elders. Where the elders had no respect from the young people anymore. The elders were overlooked. They were placed in old folks' home and set aside from the society. And this I hated to see happening with my people. So we begin to use these elders to teach our young people. In the past, the young people went to universities. They went to colleges. Their teachers were always non-Indians, who studied books for many years and became professors. But the true teachers, the real teachers, were still yet out their own reservations and out there in the rural areas. These is what we called the grassroots people. These were the kinds of teachers that I wanted in my survival school. So I began to bring them in. And now we have a youth and elder conference there every year. And we bring in more and more young people. And our young people come there on their own. Many of our elders, some of them, I provide for their expense. But young people are so anxious to listen to the elders, they come there. And this is where they learn to participate in ceremonies. And their elders are glad to come there and speak to the young people. And they are free because it is out there in the country where ceremonies belong. It has always been my thought that ceremonies do not belong in cities. They do not belong in hotels. They belong out there in the country. So this is where we have a four-day spiritual gathering. Even though we do not operate on a daily basis, from time to time we have gatherings there, and it has become something like a community gathering there. And we have our social gatherings there, we have our dances there. In the winter months, among my tribe, we didn't have any winter dances. More than 100 years ago, our winter dances were forgotten, and our activities only took part in the summer months. But now, since we have our roundhouse, we have our young people come there, and we are restoring some of the dances that was lost, that at one time our people had something to do in the winter months and the summer months too. So we have gotten back to that, and we do have dances there perhaps once a month, but still yet this is bringing the awareness back to our people, and this is teaching of survival. We are still yet trying to operate there more and more, maybe every weekend, or if possible every day. Someday I hope to see a lot of young people come there, not only just my tribe, but we have other tribes who are in the same position. Some of them, especially in the eastern states, have totally lost their language and ceremonies, and I hope that some of their elders would come out and teach their young ones. And this is a good place, centrally located in Oklahoma, and this is how I operate my survival school. Sometimes in the summer months, whenever it is possible, I teach the little children, the small children. I take them out into the woods while walking around in the woods. If there are children that does not speak their language, I teach them their language, the names of birds, animals, turtles, whatever we see out there. They have an easy way of learning their language because there's something there that reminds them, because they see the bird and I tell them, this is what we call a bird. This is what we call a fish. This is what we call a squirrel. This is what we call deer, bear. This tree has its name. Every tree has its Indian name. Every grass has its name. Birds have different names. There's herbs out there that took care of our ancestors for thousands of years, and they still work for us. And I try to tell them the difference in these herbs. Besides that, there's food out there in the hills, by the creeks, by the rivers. There's something growing there that's eatable. And I feel like that someday survival is going to be important, and that we're going to have to survive differently from how we survive today. And when time comes that we can no longer go to the supermarkets and get our vegetables, we have to get them out of our gardens. And something out there in the woods that are eatable, we have to know this in order to survive.